If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. As this morning, we're going to get a glimpse of heaven. A glimpse of heaven. Heaven is the home of God. And in all of the people that I have met in my life, I can't say that everyone, but almost everyone that I've ever met wants to go to heaven when they die. Again, because it is the home of God. You have probably read about heaven. Undoubtedly, we have sung about heaven. We probably have seen television shows and/or movies about heaven. But for our next two messages in the book of Revelation, we're going to see the most authoritative description of heaven as it comes from God's Word. Now, beginning today, we are making a major turn in our study of the book of Revelation. In the recent Sunday mornings, we have gone back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, where we are given a very simple but sufficient outline for the book of Revelation. Jesus told John to write about what he saw, which was his vision, write about what was in first century Western Turkey, and he did that in chapters 2 and 3, and then write about the things that will come, after these things that will come. And so, beginning today and for the rest of our time in the book of Revelation, what we're going to see is in the future. It hasn't happened yet. Revelation chapters 6 through 18, the Great Tribulation. Revelation 19 and 20, the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ, and his earthly reign. And then Revelation 21 and 22, eternity. But before we get to that earthly tribulation, Revelation 4 and Revelation 5 are going to give us a glimpse of heaven. And oh, brothers and sisters, how good news it is. Now, I want to remind you, because we are about to get into a portion of Scripture that people love to pontificate about. They love to speculate about. But I want to remind you that on many issues, that's simply all that it is. Speculation. Because the book of Revelation is a letter that contains so much apocalyptic language. And when I say apocalyptic, I mean highly symbolic. And you're going to see that this morning with the use of a simile. And you know what a simile is, a comparison of two objects using like or as. Notice in verse 1, the first voice which I heard was like. And then if you skip down to verse 3, and he who sat there was like. And then at the end of verse 3, in appearance, like. And then in verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass, like. In verse 7, the first living creature was like, and the second living creature, like, and the third living creature, like, and the fourth living creature, like. And so I'm going to tell you this morning what I believe, but please understand me this morning. I'm not going to be dogmatic. in assigning some meaning to every color and every number and every symbol, because it's speculation. And that is always true of highly symbolic language. I can have my opinion and you can have your opinion, and great. Maybe they're the same, maybe they're different. But yet you and I know of individuals who've written books and shows and interviews, and they've made their life on pontificating and speculating about the meanings in the book of Revelation. So one last thing that I want you to know about and be aware of, specifically as it relates to Revelation chapter 4, is that in this glimpse of heaven, we are looking at the throne. Notice that word throne also used multiple times throughout chapter 4 in verse 2. A throne set in heaven and one who sat on the throne. And in verse 3, there was a rainbow around the throne. And in verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders. And in verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, and seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne. In verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne. And then in verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne. And then in verse 10, and the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and then cast their crowns before the throne. So Revelation chapter 4 is about the throne, brothers and sisters. In a glimpse of heaven. And so if you have found, and I know that you have, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, would you stand this morning in honor of the reading of God's word and follow along as I read all 11 verses of Revelation chapter 4. After these things, and by the way, again, you can go back to chapter 1 and verse 19, and Jesus says, which are and the things which will take place after this. So those two phrases, after this and after these things, that is a connection point. We are meant to make that connection. After these things, John's writing, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. There's that phrase again, after this. Go back to chapter 1, verse 19, see the connection. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the thrones proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy. Do you know that we just sang that? In at least two of the songs we just sang. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. By the way, and I'm going to connect these dots for you just in case you're not awake yet. What was the title of that song we just sang a moment ago? Revelation Song. Well, where does it get its title? The Book of Revelation. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word and the access that we have to it. And I pray today that You would speak loudly and clearly and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to Your word and Your will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. So in this glimpse of heaven, as we are considering the throne this morning, in verses 1 through 3, I want you to notice the person on the throne who will be worshipped. Let me say that again. The person on the throne who will be worshipped. Remember, we're looking into the future. We're talking about heaven. In verse 1, after these things, John said, "I looked and behold a door open to heaven." So here we are. We're going to get this glimpse of heaven this morning that is more truthful than anything you've ever seen on television. It's more truthful than anything you've ever seen or heard in a movie theater. And it is more true and authoritative and clearer than anything you've ever sung about. This door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. Does that mean it was a trumpet? No, it was like a trumpet. Speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Well, who was talking to John? We'll turn back to chapter 1 and look at verses 10 and 11. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet." Well, that seems to be similar. "Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Brothers and sisters, this was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to John, who wanted to give him a glimpse of heaven and said, "John, come up here." And that's exactly what happened. John's body physically remained on the Isle of Patmos, but in a spiritual, supernatural vision, John's spirit was transported to heaven. And he received a glimpse of heaven. Now, I will make just one interesting remark here about verse 1, or at least it's interesting to me. If you're using a red letter edition of God's word, it's interesting to me that chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 are in red letters. But for some reason, the editors of the New King James Version and the New American Standard Bible don't put chapter 4 and verse 1 in red letters, even though it seems to be very clear and obvious that this is the Lord Jesus speaking to John. Verse 2, "Immediately I was in the Spirit," again, similar language to what we saw just a moment ago, "and behold, a throne set in heaven, And there was one, notice capital O, there was one who sat on the throne. And I would say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that this is God. This is God on his throne. But if I may, allow me to make this distinction. This is God the Father. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't going to make a full appearance until chapter 5. And so I believe that this is God the Father, and verse 3, as we're considering the person on the throne who will be worshipped, and he who sat there was like, it doesn't say that he was, but he was like a jasper, a clear rock, a clear gem, jewel, maybe even similar to what we would consider today or looking like a diamond, and also a Sardis stone, characterized as blood red in appearance. And then there was a rainbow around the throne. Now think about that for just a moment. Most of the time we only see half, but yet around the throne of God in its entirety will be a rainbow. And then look at the end of verse 3, in appearance like an emerald. And so what you have, just to make sure that we're all on the same page here, what you have is John presenting to us this picture and the image of God, which is primarily consists of these three colors: clear, red, and green. It's an amazing picture. It's an amazing glimpse of heaven that we get to see here in Revelation chapter 4. And if I can just make one last comment about this first observation. This rainbow, when we're first introduced to the rainbow in the book of Genesis, being the symbol of God's faithfulness, a symbol that of God's faithfulness, where he has said, I will never flood the world again. And here, that rainbow, that same rainbow, also speaking to God's faithfulness. To God's faithfulness to sit on his throne and being sovereignly in control of all things. He will be faithful to do just that. And yet it grieves my heart that in our country and around the world, the homosexual agenda has hijacked this symbol. Because long before it was a symbol of diversity, it was and will continue to be a sign of God's faithfulness. The one person on the throne who will be worshipped, God the Father. Notice beginning in verse 4, the participants around the throne who will be worshiping. The participants around the throne who will be worshiping. Verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Well, who were these first participants? Well, if you look at the word elder in the New Testament, and then also throughout Scripture, first and foremost, it is representative of older males. And then specifically in the New Testament, these are leaders. It is an office of the local church. The number 12 is oftentimes used to communicate fullness or completeness. So if you do 2 times 12 or 24, then perhaps we're speaking of the completest or the fullest. But here's what I believe. I believe that these 24 elders right here are representing the raptured church. The raptured church. And you say, Brother Richard, why do you say that? It's because notice how they are dressed at the end of verse 4. They're clothed in white robes. And we saw that given to some of those saints in those 7 churches of first century Western Turkey in chapters 2 and 3. And then not only are they wearing white robes, but they're also wearing crowns of gold, the victor's crown, given to followers of Christ who persevere through the end. And as Jesus says again and again and again in chapters 2 and 3, who overcome. And so I believe that these 24 elders are representing the raptured church, and they are around the throne of God. Verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And then 7 lamps. And we have seen this terminology and this language previously. This is the Holy Spirit. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal, demonstrating vastness. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures. Now, aren't these creatures interesting? Full of eyes in front and in back. And so while the 24 elders, I believe, are human beings, I believe that chapter 4 is clear that these 4 living creatures are angelic beings of some kind. Perhaps seraphim, perhaps cherubim. But it says that they have eyes in front and in back. Again, rather odd, but yet demonstrating that they know so much and are aware of so much. Verse 7 says the first living creature was like a lion. And I would suggest to you this morning that these creatures are symbolic of all of God's creation. The fiercest being the lion. The second living creature like a calf, symbolic of the domesticated creatures. The fourth living creature, an eagle, representing the flying creatures. And then that third living creature had a face like a man, symbolic of the creature of all creatures, the human being. And the 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within. Now, we're not going to go back and read it this morning, but I would encourage you to do so at a later time. Obviously, John was aware of Ezekiel chapter 1. Or at least there is a relationship between Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4. Because if you go back and you read verses 1 through 14 of Ezekiel chapter 1, you will find similar creatures with similar descriptions, like a lion, like a calf, like a man, like a flying eagle. There has to be a connection because of the similarity. So, we've seen the person on the throne who will be worshipped, the participants around the throne who will be worshipping. Well, what were they doing? Let's look at the practice of worship at the throne. the end of verse 8. And they do not rest day or night, saying, what are they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. See Isaiah chapter 6. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks, and so you see these angelic beings who are worshiping the Lord, and when they give glory and honor to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, these are the human beings, the representatives of the raptured church, they who are sitting on the, they are giving thanks and honor and glory to the ones who sit on the throne. And then notice what they're doing there in verse 10. And they cast their crowns before the throne. By the way, if you are a fan of contemporary Christian music, the group Casting Crowns, where do they take their name from? Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. But the 24 elders, they have received these crowns and jewels in their crown as rewards for ministry and service and good deeds on earth. And so then what are they doing with them in heaven? They are laying them at the throne of God. They are surrendering their crowns unto God the Father, as He is the only one who is worthy. And they are saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." So can I just remind you of what worship in heaven may be like? Worship in heaven is going to be a sight to behold. Think about the colors again, the colors of jasper, the colors of sardis, the colors of emerald. That actually reminds me of the McNeil concert last Sunday night, if you were here. They had those colors represented on the stage. And can I just say to you this morning, brothers and sisters who are in person, or brothers and sisters who are joining us online, heaven help us if we are so immature that we make comments about other churches and how they worship, when in reality what they're doing may be a little bit closer to heaven than what we're doing. And yes, Baptist brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you. Because so many times we hear about, or we see on television, well, they're just putting on a show. Well, tell me, what was this? It was a show. Worship in heaven is going to be a sight to behold. Notice that it's also going to be loud. Let me say that again. It's going to be loud, brothers and sisters. If you can read verse 5 and not understand that with lightnings, thunderings, and voices, that it's going to be loud, then you're reading something different than I am. So get ready. Whatever you need to do to get ready. Not only is it going to be a sight to behold, not only is it going to be loud, it's going to be continuous and, listen to me, repetitive. And how many times have I had church members say to me about all these new songs, and all that they do is just say the same words over and over and over again. Holy, 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 holy. Am I making sense? Notice verse 8, and they do not rest day or night. What does that mean? Continuous. And they're saying the same words again and again and again, whether you like it or not. Holy, 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 holy. It's a sight to behold. It's going to be loud. It's going to be continuous and repetitive. It's going to be fully participatory. And can I just say now a word to my brothers this morning? I don't know what your excuse is now if you don't sing and sing loudly on Sunday mornings, but brothers, you're not going to have an excuse in heaven. You will be singing, and you will be singing loudly, and you will be singing for eternity. Because that's what worship in heaven will be. And then finally, it will be active. There will be singing. There will be the casting of crowns. I'm confident there will be the raising of hands. There will be bending of knees. There will be those who are lying face down at the throne. Completely active. Not just simply sitting. And so, get ready. And the next time that you say to me, "Oh, Brother Richard, I wish I was in heaven today," make sure that you know exactly what you're saying. If you're here this morning and you are a follower of Christ, praise the Lord. And I hope and pray that as we are encouraged this morning by God's word, that we will long for the reality of heaven as it will be the presence of God. But if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, if you were to die today, you would not have a home in heaven. And the fact of the matter is that you're not guaranteed more than today. You're not guaranteed more than this morning. And so if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ today, I would invite you to be saved. I'd invite you to admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and in your place and for your sin. And call on the name of the Lord to save you. In just a moment after I finish praying, I'm going to invite Brother Chris to come, and he's going to lead us in a very familiar song, a song of commitment, a time of invitation. And I'll be here at the front, and Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. And if today you would trust Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, I would invite you to step out into one of our aisles. Walk here to the front. We'd love to welcome you, to greet you, to celebrate with you, to pray with you, to counsel with you. If you're here this morning and you're a guest, and you know that God is leading you to unite formally and officially with Emory Baptist Church, we'd love to welcome you today. We'd love to talk with you about what church membership means and what you can expect here at Emory Baptist Church. Maybe you just simply need to come and pray this morning. Our invitation will be for you. But oh, brothers and sisters, how good that glimpse of heaven is from God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful that you give us just a glimpse of heaven. Father, forgive us for creating representations of heaven in our minds that are not of your word. Let us be faithful to your word above all else. Father, I pray this morning that that you would give us a longing for heaven. Not because necessarily it will be the absence of sin, although that will be true. Not because necessarily there'll be loved ones that we miss there, although that will be true. Lord, I pray that you would give us a longing for heaven because that's where you will be. That is your home. And I pray that it is ours as well. Father, I pray that you would convict this morning those in our midst who don't know Christ as Savior and Lord. Convict them of their lostness. Draw them unto yourself. Give them faith to believe. Father, would you lead and guide our guests as they consider church membership? And for those this morning, Father, who are among us who are hurting, Lord, would you please comfort them with your Holy Spirit? Father in heaven, we love you. We're grateful for your love for us. We commit this invitation to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us this morning, would you come today to know Christ as Savior? Would you come today to join Emory Baptist Church? Would you come today to pray? Let's sing together.